send through our email. But I'm telling him that when I couldn't retrieve mine from my own email until he sent it to my personal email. So that must be checked. We must look at that. That sometimes we are sent documents, but we can't access them. And that's a problem, because when we come to meeting, we want to come prepared. We want to have read through the documents, because to read the document here where you are supposed to discuss it is not good. We want, as the committee, to apply our minds so that when we discuss in the committee, we are well prepared for the issues that we're going to discuss. So look at that and look at, I'm going to show you what it says. I'm going to show you from my laptop, from the iPad, what it says, so that you notify the people who are in IT. I don't know if other members had a problem as well of accessing the information. Yes, it was an opening, yeah. Yours is okay, okay. JM? Were you okay? Did you receive on email the document?
Yes, I was okay. I used my personal one.
Okay. Just like
we were told by people at the National Intelligence reads all our other mail service that I use both. But that's the point of it. But it's a problem. It's so many pages that my printer can't do it all. So I asked my secretary just to check what are we handed out here. I can read it on the computer. That helps for preparation. But the question is always, must you print it out, all of those, and you will really drown in all the paperwork, or can you just read through and get them here? I'm not sure what the best solution is here.
Thank you. I think we need to look at how we deal with it. As I said earlier, that we need to get the information. We need to get the documents. We must be given time to look at the documents, to read them, and to apply our minds. Because getting into a meeting without being well prepared is sometimes useless. So I think it's important for us to look at that area. How do we ensure that members do get these documents beforehand? And we keep on communicating. Have you received? Have you not? Because I think to say, I sent an email, you need to follow it up. This is what I always say, that we need this person feel that, you know, the follow-up. Have you received the emails? Is everything fine? We need that as the committee. So as management, look into that and ensure that we receive the documents to make our job easier and to make our job more effective. We look into the issue of documents again. But also, again, I think when you are packaging the documents, this is what I've said, that this thing, this, it doesn't work for me. We need to be professional. We need to have a file so that members can be able to take, to note this file is for the meeting of this date. They can, even when they are doing their own filing, it's easier for members to look at, and even in the meeting to say, let's go to tag number so-and-so, tag A, tag B, or the pink tag, the white tag, or whatever. It's easier in a meeting, and it makes things easy for all of us. So I'm appealing again, because I did make this appeal before. I'm appealing again, but if you are having problems, I'm prepared to come and assist you. Well, I'm prepared, because I've done this all my life. I am prepared to come in, and you give me the documents, I file them, I tag them, so that it's easier in a meeting. Members don't have to struggle with paper. I mean, members are busy with so many things. They can't struggle in a meeting with papers trying to find the minutes of this, minutes of that meeting. Where are they? Loose papers. It's clumsy. So please, I'm appealing to you, management. Ensure that this does not happen again, because I have appealed to you before. But I would like to welcome the members back from the constituency period and the recess. I hope you had a restful period. Hey, the members are saying no, they did not rest. You will share with us what you are doing later. But I'm hoping that we are all prepared for the work that's before us, the work that we have to do during this period. And I don't know whether it's me alone that has been, given the impression that this BRRR thing is very difficult, you know. There is that impression that has been created that this is a very difficult exercise. But I'm hoping that the management is going to make this exercise easier for us. And as you can see, that I'm using reading glasses now. I'm getting older, and age is really catching up. I can't see, and no. So I'm using this now, and it tells the story. Once you start using this, it tells your story. Honorable members, I would now, as I said earlier, that we have been advised that the minutes of the joint meeting that we had, and we said we must note, we've been advised that we must adopt those minutes, and because the other committees are looking at them, and they will adopt them as well. So let's start with the minutes of the joint committee, joint meeting that we had with Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. So if we can look at that. We had looked at them, but I will again afford that opportunity that we look at them if we have anything that we want to deal with here and now. I hope that members do have this document. I will start on page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4.
Page 4 has got quite a few, typo errors. It's not quite readable. For instance, your sub-item 1, well, perhaps it says there was a confusion with regards to whether PENSALP, there's a missing is established as a Schedule 1 or a Schedule 3. I don't know whether this refers to the PENSALP or it refers to the PFMA, because I don't think there can be a confusion between the acts. I assume that we were saying either a Schedule 1 or Schedule 3 of the PFMA, but I think we will need to look at that aspect. And then on subclause 3, it says the problem at the PENSALP. Where instead of where, of a serious nature, of a serious concern. And then subclause 4, it says PENSALP did not fulfill the mandate. Well, that it was established for, I think this could just be corrected so it can be properly, either for which it was established, and it must just be written properly. I think those are a few things, Chair, that needs correction from myself.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashango. Are there any other corrections? I mean, I think on number two, the manner in which we've crafted that, the minister's authority to appoint caretaker CEO was questionable. I think we need to find a way of putting that. Because who is is it questionable to us? Is it questionable to somebody else? We need to qualify to ensure that it reflects what we mean. Because I think there would be questions. But are you as the committee questioning it, or was it questioned by people outside? Can you, Honorable Kulbom, do you have?
Chair, I think that will resort back to the question that Honorable Mashango referred to, whether it's a Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 Act, the establishment of the offence of.
It's linked to the question. But I think that the context, I mean, I'm looking at the context, who is questioning this? Is it being questioned by people who are from outside? Or I think that they should contextualize it so that it's clear who is asking this question. Because I think as the committee, we were receiving a report and we can't say we are questioning. It is us who is questioning, but it's the staff members who were questioning this. So I think it should be... we should look at those two. And I had another proposal.
It could be said that it's unclear whether the minister has the authority to appoint a caretaker CEO.
Wallace is correct, but I think you are right in the manner in which you raised the issue. Because what happened here is when we received the presentation, the presenters were actually saying one of the issues that is raised is whether it is the responsibility of the board to appoint the acting CEO or is it the responsibility of the minister. That matter is coming from Pencil. Obviously, we didn't have an answer because we had no... I think at the time, we also had not even seen the act of the entity to apply our mind on the matter. So I guess when we craft that matter, by now we should be knowing, actually, we should be having clarity as to who has authority to appoint. I'm not sure whether anyone can help so that in crafting that issue we could actually round it off, because it cannot remain a question to us even at the time at which we are adopting this thing. But I agree with your view that you had expressed.
Doc?
I wasn't there, so I don't want to interfere. I tried to word it. Maybe my safe was questioned by staff members, because I think that's what I hear. And therefore, they are taking the matter to the court. And maybe we get through them, then it's there. That's the way I see it. So I think there's matters arising, so it was what they put to us. The member over there is quite correct. We ought to have the answer. But I don't think this is where we answer the question. We just sort of report what they said. So that's the way I saw it. So I would say something like that. They questioned it, not us. And therefore, that's the court case. I'm not sure if that helps.
Thank you very much. I'm hoping that you are noting this, so that when you redo these issues that are being raised, you do it to the best of your ability, taking note of all these areas that have been discussed here. Is there anything else?
And
there being none, can we move for adoption with the okay, seconded. Thank you very much. Let us then move to the set of minutes of the meeting of the 2nd of September. Those are the minutes of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture visiting SARA. Our visit to SARA. Do we all have the copy of the minutes? Can we then go to page 1? Page 2? Page 3? But we had looked, didn't we? Yeah, we had looked at the minutes, but we said that they should be, yeah, they should be separated. We had looked at them. Honorable Hoso?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I think we already had a look at this. However, the only thing concern that I have is the question to the recommendation. Did we add a time frame to it? Or is it just because all of those should be a time frame attached to it? I don't know if I missed it somewhere.
The committee has requested that SARA forward us all this information before the end of the week of the 2nd of September. But the only document that they sent late was the forensic report, which was forwarded to members and put in the pigeon holes on the 26th of September.
I think what... Honorable Hotbaum is asking is, I think it's what he's asking is important, that when we have recommendations, we should always have time frame, because there's a danger of us saying that we would like this forward, and it should be minuted that we want this within this specified period, so that when they don't give us the information, we know exactly when they were supposed to give us the information. From the legislature, I think it's always like 30 days after the tabling, but I think you are raising a very important point, that even when we are having meetings, when we say that you need to give us information, by when should this happen? So that we are in a position to measure and follow up if these people do provide us with the information. So are you saying this information was submitted? All of it? Okay. Do members have it? This information? Okay, we'll have to look.
Maybe say, but my laptop is giving me a problem. I will take it to the AT so I can open. Chair, while I'm still through you, the recommendation number for SARA to fill the position of the CEO as a matter of agency. This recommendation is like it asked the committee that we said that SARA, I don't know, maybe you people will add, other members will assist me, maybe the way I take number four, the way it's written. It's like it asked that saying SARA would fill, but it was them that was telling us that they would fill the position, and already we knew that the CFO is coming as the CEO. So is the way it is like that, we don't know who was the CEO. Already when we are out from that meeting, we know that the CFO is coming as a CEO. So I don't know, is it a recommendation or it was an information thing to us? Maybe Chair, you will assist me to understand it.
I think this is what we said as well as the committee, that we need to have that position, we need to have these positions that are strategic field. And this is what we said, we also said to them, we had heard from them that they were planning to do something, but we said it must be filled. There must not be an acting person. They must fill the position as a matter of urgency. So are we agreed with the minutes? Because I think we did go through them, but we had advised that they be separated. We need honorable.
Chair, I move for the acceptance of the minutes as presented.
Chair member?
Second, Chair.
The other set of minutes of the 9th of September, where we were doing our own debriefing on Pencil. Can we look at the minutes? Page 1. Page 2. It's quite a short set of minutes. Do we want to... Is there anything from the minutes? Can we have someone moving for adoption if we don't have any problem?
I move, Chair.
There's a motion for adoption. Seconded. Okay. Can we move to the 16th, minutes of the 16th? This is the visit. Where are the pictures? I want those pictures, guys. Follow up on the pictures. It should be something that you are following up on, because I think those were beautiful pictures. Please, anybody who has pictures from there, please, Doc, can you please give us the pictures? We would like to see ourselves.
You look beautiful on them, but it's only the mobile phone pictures. The quality is not so good, so I thought maybe they'll send us. But if you give my email, I'll send it to you.
Oh, please, please.
And I send it to all my supporters. All the friends and guys saw you, and they think it was very smart.
Good, thank you very much. We would really love to have the pictures. And we came out of that meeting motivated and inspired because of the work that's being done there. Can we look at the minutes page or at the report page 1? Page 2. Yeah, but I think I don't know whether we need to. Are these going to be turned into reports? Because I think minutes and reports, they are two different things, is it? Yeah. So we need to have something that's a report. Maybe let's look at it as management. That how do we turn these minutes into a report? And because I believe that a report it gives more than just minutes. Because in a report, we would even have the pictures, we would even have, you know, something that's going to excite people out there. You know, I don't know. But do you have anything on the minutes? Is there anything on the minutes? Can I have someone moving for the adoption? Use the mic.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Member.
I second it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Move to the last step, which is the meeting of the 23rd. Where the AG was giving us information that was going to assist us in the process that's starting today of the BRRR. And it was a very good session with the Auditor General, and we asked them a lot of questions. And they responded very well to the questions that we were having. Is there anything that you would like to correct there? It's also a very short set of minutes.
Because I was in that meeting, I still remember other members were not there, so I must do the justice to this committee.
Okay.
I second it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We are through with the minutes. What you are going to do now is to have the researcher and the content advisor. They are going to make a presentation of the BRRR. Hey, this BRRR, I'm telling you, it's scaring me. Maybe the people who have been here, who have gone through this, will really tone down the fear that I have of this animal called BRRR. And we are going to give over, without wasting time, give over to you, Damco and Fiona, to do your presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Chabu, when are we starting with the next meeting? Right. So we basically have 8.5 minutes, and I'm going to be very short to give Fiona at least 5 minutes to summarize her presentations. The BRRR, Chair, I think there is that perception that it is a once complicated and big thing that happens. Yes, it has been complicated because it's relatively new, but it's a very simple report on the expenditure and the performance of the department at the 6 months of the financial year. The complication is when this report has to be put together without the department having been able to complete or to supply Parliament with the second quarterly report. So that has to do with the timing, though, because it has to be done before the Minister's or Minister of Finance presentation. And each and every year, we are always in this situation where we do it just a week before. And also another complication is the program of Parliament, where members arrive just a week before the Minister of Finance budget statement. So that's a bit of a complication. But I'm sure once Parliament gets used to this system, a couple of years from now, they will try to synchronize the program of Parliament with the requirements of the BRRR. But there is a presentation that was circulated. That presentation was done by our most former capable manager, Mr. Mketwa Mkize, who passed on a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. But that presentation summarizes almost everything about the BRRR. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to go through the presentation, but I will look at the approach of the committee, given the fact that the department transfers almost 80% of the subsidy of its budget to entities. It's important that we do make a follow-up on how entities also spend. Because if you're doing the department alone, you say you're doing the budget review of the department, you would basically be doing a budget review of 20%, because the rest would be transfer payment to either provinces or to entities. The department has 28 entities and non-government organizations. It then makes it very difficult to go through all of them. But what we did last year with this committee, we looked at a few entities that are worst, that received the biggest chunk of the budget, so that at least we will cover up to more than 50% of the budget, of the total appropriation. But then this approach starts with the department itself. We've sent this template to the department. The chairperson signed a letter with a template of this effect to the department, requesting them to give or to provide information on the expenditure as at 30 September 2014 on personnel, goods and services, library conditional grant, and also transfer payment. Secondly, because performance information is a very crucial element to the B2R as well, we've requested the department to indicate how it is performing on this aspect. For example, to give the total number of targets planned between April and September, total number of targets achieved, and the percentage thereafter, and the reasons for a variance, if there are any variance. In addition to that, the following entities, based on their subsidy and to a particular extent the role that they play in this sector, the Pan South African Languages Board, South African Heritage Resources Agency, National Film and Video Foundation, the State Theatre, the Windebaut Theatre.
Chairperson.
Okay.
But we can't see.
You can't see it. Okay. Let me try to make it a bit bigger. Is it better now? Okay. Yes, sorry about that. The National Film and Video Foundation, the State Theatre, the Windebrook Theatre, the National Arts Council, the National Heritage Council, Freedom Park, Sondozi Museum, the Thuli Museum, Business and Arts South Africa, Izigo Museums, and Robben Island. Of this list, 13 of them, it's only BASA, which is not an entity as such, but it is an NGO set up by the department. And the reason we've put it in this is that BASA receives a subsidy of about 5 million, but it is expected to raise more money for the art sector. So we want to see the extent to which it performs its mandate. And also linked to that is the vacancy profile for each and every institution, because that is also very crucial, because we are aware that there are institutions, including DEC, that has had vacancies not filled for over 2 years. So we want to extrapolate the extent to which those vacancies have an impact on the delivery of services. So institutions were requested to list the vacancies, the positions profile, the duration to which that vacancy has not been filled, and the impact it has on service delivery, and when it plans to fill that vacancy. And lastly, the processes that we're going to follow, the process flow. Today, the department will table the annual report, and based on the, or will present the annual report that has been tabled, and then based on the presentation, the committee will have a discussion on how it receives the annual report. Then the support staff will put together a report based on the observations of the committee. And next week, Tuesday, we will then have a meeting where the draft report will be presented and adopted by the committee. It will, according to the Act, the BRRR has to be 80 seat 3 days before the medium-term budget statement of the Minister of Finance. But that has become very impossible, because that means that we will have to publish it at least by Friday. And given that we share, we can only meet on Thursday, I mean today, because we're sharing members with other committees, we also have to give them space, because all the portfolio committees are doing this process, with the exception of the standing committees and select committees. So basically, that's where I would end, and I would have to give it to Fiona before the department arrives. Not unless if there are any questions.
I think when must we adopt the report?
In the next week's meeting on Tuesday, so we will adopt the report and ATC it the following day. So when the Minister of Finance delivers the speech or the medium term budget statement, it would have been ATC.
Are there any other questions, Honourable Member?
But the question that I would like to raise is just a slide about that one. The issue I would like to raise is the question I want to ask is, what becomes of this report? Is it debated? Is there anything that happens? Or is it just put on the ATC? And then the second question is, Chair, agreeing with what he has said, how is the program going to unfold? Are we going to be meeting the entities? If not, what does it say? Because I agree with him that the department only deals with 20% of the budget. 80% of the budget is transfers. So if we look at the department presentation only, obviously they will speak to what they may have transferred, but it really does not speak to what has actually happened and the manner in which we can actually engage the department.
In fact, I had written to the department to ask them to report on the entities, because they expected the entities to report to us. And I said, but you are giving the entities money. You need to report to us so that we analyze and see from your report which entities we need to call in. So they were very reluctant. They sent this thing at the very last minute. Sijabu was struggling to get the information of this. We said they need to present. And they said, you call in the entities. And we said, we're not going to call them in until you have given us a report on the entities. So they finally said that they were going to report, to have a presentation on the entities. And I think on that basis, we need to look at those entities that we need to call in. By end of business today, we should have identified which entities so that we can advise them as soon as possible, so that maybe from next week and other committee slots that we have, we address the issue of entities. But we definitely have to call in entities, because the chunk of the budget goes to entities. And I don't know why the department doesn't take this thing seriously. They think that those the entities should do as they, I don't know, what maybe the department will explain to us why they think entities should come and report to us, because they are the people who are giving money to entities. So this is one question that we need to ask from the department when they are here.
Maybe, Chair, let me clarify that a little bit. When the white paper of 1996 was developed, there was something that was referred to as an arm's length approach. And that aspect was included into the Cultural Institutions Act of 1998. So what it then created was a situation where the department gives them money and they are sort of independent and report to Parliament, and that's what the Cultural Institutions Act also says. But what has happened is that in the review of the white paper, the current review process, it seems as if they have drifted a little bit to include the entities as part of the department itself. So I think they're still begging themselves to find their feet on how they should approach it. But in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act, entities have to report to Parliament. But that does not exonerate them to report about entities, because they, in fact, according to the Public Finance Management Act, they are the ones who need to ensure that when they transfer money, all the required legislative and financial framework is up to scratch. Let me try to respond to Honourable Mahlangu's two issues. In terms of the document, the BRRR, it's not debated in the House. It gets 80 seats and sent to the Minister of Finance and the Minister responsible for the vote. So in this effect, the Minister of Arts and Culture. In terms of the entities, the issue is the number of entities versus the time frames. And what we've tried to do with this template is to create fields that will allow the committee to get information that we would have used when they, if they were invited. But because there isn't time, even if we could have tried to invite some today, it could not have been more than two. But this tool allows the committee to extrapolate more information on issues of vacancies, their expenditure on goods and services, their expenditure on personnel, etc., etc., and how and how are they doing in terms of their performance information as well. So it gives more or less a better indication to make a conclusion on their expenditure.
Fiona, do you want to?
morning, honourable members. My presentation won't take very long. It's just basically an outline of the analysis that I've already circulated via Jabu. The two documents that the two documents that I'll be talking to are the printed version of the presentation, which reads Overview of the Department of Arts and Culture 2013-14 Annual Report, and then the brief itself, which is titled Overview and Analysis of the 2013-14 Annual Report of the Department of Arts and Culture. That's just the outline of the presentation. I won't go through that. The annual report of the department provides both financial and non-financial performance information. The report of the Auditor General of South Africa, report on human resources management, and achievements of the department against its annual performance plan and as extracted from the strategic plan. It should be noted that the department was working with six programs in the last financial year, and these are listed here. It's also in the analysis. I won't go through them right now. Just a note on all the achievements. I'm sure the departments, they will go through all of these achievements in their presentation, because I've seen a very long 70-page presentation that they will do for you later. So just basically that they've achieved 71% of their planned targets. They've supported a number of cultural events and festivals. They've placed over 200 artists in schools across 8 provinces. They've handed over a very modern, up-to-date film studio to the community of Diepsloot. They spent over R1 billion on building 16 new libraries and upgrading 55 existing libraries. They've awarded 336 bursaries to students in language and heritage studies. And as I said, this is just a very small snapshot of the achievements over the past financial year. I think this is the more important bit of the presentation that we need to concentrate on, which are matters arising from the annual report. It's important to note that the department's budget allocation grew from 2.7 billion rand in the previous financial year, in 2012-13, to 2.9 billion in the previous financial year. So there has been an increase in budget. However, there's also been an increase in under expenditure. So in 2012-2013, the department only underspent by 1%, whereas in the last financial year they've underspent by 4.5%, which translates to about, I think it was 154 million rand that was not spent. And this under expenditure they attribute to money not spent on the conditional grant, money not spent on NGE projects, capital works, and my favorite, the flag in school project. It's also interesting to note that 5 out of the 6 programs spent above 95% of their final appropriation. And I've just indicated on the presentation, slide 52, which means the slide relating to the presentation by the department, if you want to refer back to this presentation while they're doing their presentation. So they spent 95%, 5 out of the 6 programs spent 95% of their final appropriation, but they've only achieved 71% of the targets overall. And it's also very interesting to note that the AG pointed out that, well, the AG selected 2 programs to conduct its investigation. That was Program 2 and Program 5. For Program 5, the AG could not find sufficient evidence to support performance information that was reported on for 20% of the targets. That's only one of the programs that the AG looked at where they couldn't find sufficient information. So that speaks to, and that could be looked at from the point of view of the rest of the programs, what happened in the other four programs. It's a bit worrying. Program 5 only spent 88.3% of its budget, and Program 5 was one of the most important programs because that's where the MGE projects lie, mainly. Just go to the next slide. And then I'm going through a breakdown per program. Just going to be very brief. 94.1% of employees did not enter into performance, or did enter into performance agreements. And performance agreements, I'll skip through some of the information in the slides, but the deadline for signing performance agreements was the end of May 2013, which is well into the first quarter of the financial year. And yet, even at senior management service level, they failed to meet this deadline. And compared to what is reported in the stat plan, they had planned to have that deadline set at the end of April 2013. So there's a discrepancy there that should be questioned. The annual report reports that the Mzunduzingome Museum Complex tabled its annual report, where in fact it hasn't been tabled. As far as we know, it wasn't given to the department by the minister. Okay. and the minister should have then alerted Parliament to the fact that this report was not tabled, and if he has not done so, it should be questioned why not. The department only has a vacancy rate of 8.3%, but key positions such as the CFO and DDG for corporate services were vacant during the 2013-14 period. Only 7% of the capital works budget was spent. That they put down to delays in implementation on the part of DPW. I'm going to skip over that. That's not that important right now. Oh, this one. I thought it was interesting to just highlight that Program 2 spent 95% of its budget, and that means 29.9 million was not spent yet. It did not award bursaries to the 20 youths as planned in the APP, and they claim that there's been reprioritization of funds within the department. Program 3, National Language Services, apparently all the targets for this program have been met. Program 4, Cultural Development. The department actually supported more cultural events than it had initially planned to support, but yet the target that's linked to supporting cultural events, which is creating 18,000 short-term jobs, was not met. So I'm not sure how that happened, but they claim that because of the economic downturn, cultural events are not supported, so I'm not quite sure what the story is there. Program 5, which is the one that didn't spend as well as the other programs, only 73 out of the planned 106 bursaries were awarded to applicants because the department says that the applicants failed to meet criteria set out for being awarded this bursary. I think it should just be questioned how widely this bursary was advertised. Did they attract the kind of students that they were looking for? Again, flags in schools, they don't meet its annual targets. 44 million rand in unexpenditure is due to this project not being implemented effectively in 2013-14. National Archives and Library Service has been, this program, the National Archives in fact has been functioning without leadership under the period of review, which is something we discussed in our stat dining session as well. There's an absence of leadership. Report of the Auditor General. The department received a qualified audit opinion for the last financial year. This is a regression from an unqualified audit opinion in the previous 2012-13 financial year, and also means that the department failed to meet its target to maintain that status, that unqualified status. I've gone through that first point for the two programs led by the AG. The financial statements were not adequate, were not supported by adequate records as required by the PFMA. Material misstatements identified by auditors were not corrected, resulting in the qualified audit opinion. And the department contravened a number of, the department contravened public service regulations by not filling vacancies within 12 months. I've not put this in, but the department also contravened a number of rules and regulations around supply chain management. And that all speaks to the fact that the CFO position has been vacant for so long. Human resources management, the microstructure was not in place during 2013-14. Leave management, I think there's room for improvement. Over 70% of the staff utilized sick leave during the leave cycle. Or that should be 2013 leave cycle, rather. And then they paid out a sum of 1.6 million rand for leave that was not taken by employees who terminated their service. None of the senior managers received performance rewards, since many of them failed to submit performance agreements by the deadline of 31 May 2013. And then it should be questioned why no disciplinary action was taken. The use of consultants should also be scrutinized. The department spent just over 36 million rand on consultants, and that excludes in the annual report, they don't report on how much was spent on the internal audit. So that should also be questioned. Has there been money spent on the internal audit or not? And then importantly, does the department have a consultancy reduction plan in place as prescribed by National Treasury regulations? And then just in summary, there's been a regression in the audit opinion. A number of laws and regulations have not been complied with in relation to financial management. Under expenditure increased between 2012 and 2013-2014. The under expenditure on capital works should be questioned, and the impact that has on service delivery. Management of performance information with regards to the AG's findings, what is the department's plan in terms of managing performance information and records keeping in general, what's going on there. Performance management could be tightened. I think it's unacceptable that employees are not complying with the deadlines of submitting performance agreements. And then should also question the use of consultants, because if you go through the analysis, you'll see that in some instances they hired, for example, one consultant for a sum of over 3 million rand for a project that wasn't completed fully by the end of the financial year. 3.8 million, I was just told. So that's my presentation in a nutshell. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Claude and Fiona. I have a feeling that we are not being given enough time to apply our minds. And I don't know which structures we should use to ask Parliament, you know, because I believe that this is how it happened. For the last 3 years, this is how it was happening, your BRRR. And I'm looking at what is happening at legislatures. For instance, in a legislature, you are given a lot of time to look at the annual report without your BRRR. We don't have anything like that in the provinces. But you are given enough time so that the department can account, because this is what we are about making the department account for the money that they are being given. And if we are going to have one meeting having received the information now, and, you know, I don't know. But I think, honorable members, we need to do our best to make the department account. And our work, our job, what we are being paid for, is about asking the right questions, asking the difficult questions, so that the department can feel that when they come through that door, they have come to account here. And I think it's assisting, your document is one of the documents that didn't come through my email. So I'm seeing it for the first time, and I'm like, I don't know whether it's me, but I need to internalize stuff, you know. When I receive it, I internalize it so that I can utilize it, you know. So it's a bit of a problem, but I think this is what we have, and we need to ensure that we raise these matters. We need to be crafting the questions in our minds so that when the department, because first of all, these issues that are being raised here, under expenditure is a crime against humanity. It is a crime. Under expenditure is a crime, and there is no two ways about it. Because there are a lot of artists out there who are pining for assistance. I mean, I am getting, as the chairperson, you don't have an idea of the phone calls, of the emails, of the SMSs that I'm getting from people who would like to have assistance from the department, and we are not spending money. And you look at the institutions, some of them, we've sat down and talked to them, and they need this budget, but we are not spending. And I think this is what we need when the department comes. They need to account. Let's look at, we thank you very much for the information that you've given us. It's going to assist us. And maybe, I think next time, that will be next year, we need to get more time so that as the committee, we prepare ourselves. We would even go to the extent of saying each member focuses on a certain area so that you get focused, you ask the right questions in that particular area so that they account. Because you feel sometimes that people are getting away with murder, you know, because we don't have enough time, we have to rush through this thing. But I think what we need to do now is to call in AG, you know, so that they give us, you know, more information so that we are prepared. As they give us this information, let's utilize this, looking at the areas where we feel strongly that this is the area where we need to ask more questions. Do you have any questions on this?
I did get this presentation. I think it's a beautiful analysis. But I agree with you that we needed to have more time to really look at this thing ourselves, so that when we get their analysis, we actually have done our what you call. But also the fact that the AEG has only looked at two of the six programs, and they have picked up what they had picked up. You can imagine what happened in the rest of the other four programs. But yeah, the only one question. By the way, 1 million has got how many zeros?
Nine.
Okay.
Thousands, million.
Now, you are saying they have built 16 libraries. So it means one library costs six million. Basically, 6.2 million. Is that what it is? Okay. Is it fair? Is it fair? How big are they? How many squares are we talking?
The price of all the libraries should more or less be the same because they are using the same architect, the same plans for all the libraries. I'm speaking up on the Northern Cape, all of them look the same. So the price tag should also be the same. Around about 6 million. Yeah. More or less, let's say more or less 6 million. But you will find one will cost 43 million, another one 16 million.
I think these are the questions that we need to ask the department when it comes. It should be one of the questions that we ask the department when they come in. Honorable members, AG is here. And we want to thank you for the session that we had earlier in the last term. What was the term, Zafan? How many term? In whole meant a good 5 year term. But in the last term, yeah, quarter is better. In the last quarter, that was really helpful. You really did assist us. And we are hoping that even this information that you're going to give us is going to arm us to ask the right questions, because this is what we are about, asking the right questions to the department, ensuring that they account, because we are about accountability as the portfolio committee. So we are hoping that the information you're going to give us is going to assist us. And it's a pity that we've just received the document and we haven't had a look at it, because it usually helps what AG is saying in the annual report. But we will look through it at some other time, but we will rely on the information that you are giving us. So you can, the floor is yours. Thank you. Thank you.
everyone. From our side, I hope everyone has received the briefing notes and a copy of the presentation. Just to start off, I think we're just going to go through our reputation promise just a bit on say that the Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, and as the supreme audit institution of South Africa, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. I think from our side, we say that we are here to assist. I think if you look at it, and it's not just about whether the audit report says X and Y, but what we're trying to say is that we are trying to ensure that we can enable a committee or a platform like this one to exercise its oversight duties and be able to address the matters that are raised within the audit report. I think this slide where we dealt with it in the capacity building exercise also. So the next two slides. Just to go straight to the issues of the department in terms of outcomes. We are reporting on 27 auditees, which includes the department. I think just we gave you a three-year trend to say what has been happening within the portfolio itself in the last 3 years. And concentrating on 2013-14, we know that there were 9 entities that got clean audit reports from the Auditor General. There were also, in the yellow block means unqualified with findings. We had entities that were unqualified with findings, financially unqualified, and then there were 9 entities also, there were 8 entities that had qualified audit reports with findings on compliance, and then there is one with a disclaimer, which is pencil. Now we have a list on the side on the areas where that there was qualifications. So in this list, this one excludes the entities that had no qualification paragraphs and no compliance paragraphs either. So I don't know if that information is clear. Also, we have Sarah. They had an unqualified report, audit report in the green, but they had findings on audit of performance information, and they had findings on compliance also. We'll go into the detail on what areas within the audit of performance information and also the compliance findings that were there in terms of the overall portfolio. But yeah, that's how you read the information there. And we're saying Pansalp had a disclaimer and also findings on audit of performance information and also on compliance. No, yeah. So this, if you look at this slide, we just gave you the trends in the last 3 years. But if you look at, and we explained further the 2013 and the 2014 audit outcomes, that is where we are listing the entities with yes. Yes. And in the next two slides, we'll show you whether there were improvements or there were unchanged or whether they have regressed. Okay. And if we look at the left, the top left column, where there were improvements, Izigo Museum and Robben Island went from unqualified with findings to this year where they were unqualified with no findings, and that's why we leave them in the column where they are improved. Okay, and the one below that, we see that there were entities that were qualified before, but now have moved to an unqualified position with findings on compliance or performance information. Okay. There were also regressions where we see that the National Museum was previously unqualified, and we say it is qualified, unqualified with findings. Okay. And there were also entities where there was no movement. I think if you look at the unchanged column in the green, those entities have previously been unqualified with no findings, and this year they have maintained that status. And I think what you can see from this group of entities is that there was a lot of stability from what we have seen before. In terms of leadership, there was stability, financial controls were in place, and they had good governance structure within them. And I think that has led to them being consistent performers within this category. And then there's also the group that is in the unqualified with findings, which is where most of the entities have been in the previous years. We find that this is always a critical position to be in, because you can easily fall into the other side. You can easily regress, or you can easily improve. So we believe that with better concentration on the day-to-day duties, these entities can easily move into the improved category where they will be unqualified with no findings. But one slip up, they will fall into the regression category. On this slide, we have the entities and the department that was where there were qualifications in the financial side, and also there was findings in compliance and the audit of performance information. Just to highlight that the department this year has also been qualified in terms of financial statements, and they had findings on compliance. Okay. And under in the last column, we have PenSouth, which has received a disclaimer opinion, where we have chosen not to express an opinion. Okay. In terms of financial statements, in this slide, what we have given is also trends, just on financial statements. The entities that have been unqualified, and I think I've unpacked it in a way in the previous slide, but it's just more clarity on this, on these ones. I don't know if I can move on from there. In this slide, we wanted to show that it could have been a worse picture had we not given the entities the opportunity to adjust financial statements, the financial statements that are submitted on the 31st of May. And I think from the left pie, you can see that there were 15 entities that had paragraphs on submitting financial statements that needed material adjustments. Okay. And the ones that were unable to adjust correctly before the 31st of July remained with the qualification, and there were 9 of them that had those opinions. Okay, so it could have been worse. it seems the overall regression has increased. On the quality of annual performance reports, on the next slide, if you can see the trend is that there has been an improvement from the previous year, where there were lesser entities that had findings on performance information. Last year there were 19. This year, in the year that we were reviewing, there were 15. And I've unpacked them on the next slide for the 2013-14, where there were findings on performance information. What we have seen is also that there has been an improvement in the year, because on usefulness of the information, we have been finding that there are lesser and lesser entities and auditees that are having findings on their usefulness. But we find that maybe they have a problem with reliability of the information, what we report on on reliability is that if we are able to rely on the information that the entity is reporting on whether they've achieved the targets or not, that's where maybe we might be having a bit of a problem. But we're seeing an improvement on the usefulness in terms of the APPs and such, that the targets are much better defined going forward, and we hope to see that improvement going forward. And I think what we have done here, we've just listed the most common material findings on usefulness and reliability. On your usefulness, as you can see, you find that the targets are not do not meet the SMART criteria, and the indicators are not well defined or could not be verified. There we have 9 entities. On reliability, there were entities where we could not assess the completeness of the reported information against supporting evidence, whether the validity of the reported information could not be tested against supporting evidence, the accuracy of the reported information could not be tested against supporting evidence. That is what we have seen also. And we have given that slide again. On compliance with legislation, it's, as you can see, it's mostly stagnant. It's a slight improvement from the other years, where in the last year it was 8. I think in the current year we have 9 entities that had that did not have findings on compliance. And what you can see is that it's within the whole portfolio that compliance is still a challenge, and we would like to see an improvement on this side also. The most common areas of non-compliance, in this slide you can see that there were 15 entities that had findings on irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There were also 15 on the quality of financial statements that were submitted, where we had a problem. And then there were 11 where we had findings on supply chain. And then on asset management, there were 9 entities that had findings on asset management. And we had 5 that have a problem with the internal audit, the effectiveness of the internal audit function. And we have just listed also the entities that have those findings that we have just spoken of. That is on this slide. Moving on to irregular expenditure that was incurred. We have given a 3-year also trend just to show that irregular expenditure is an increasing figure within the portfolio. If you see from 2011, it was 106 million. Last year we had 164 that was reported. In the current year it has increased to 225. And I think if we don't put the measures that we are recommending within the entities, we'll find that this figure will be reporting a higher figure in the subsequent periods to this. And we've given also the examples of why is irregular expenditure increasing. The main areas of non-compliance were the required number of quotations were not obtained for procurement under 500,000, where awards were made to suppliers that did not submit valid tax clearance certificates, interest not declared, application of preferential point system in awarding contracts was not applied. So those are the areas that we're looking at. And also if you look at into this slide, we find that a big portion of the expenditure that is identified during the audit process. Let alone that the entities cannot prevent irregular expenditure. They also have a problem with identifying irregular expenditure on their own, and they always require the assistance of the audit, the auditors when they are on site. Also on this slide, we find that when you're dealing with fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it has increased dramatically in the period that we are reporting on. However, you can find that the nature of the occurrences is that there's penalties and interest that are incurred on contractual payments. There is also traffic fines that fits the bill. There's litigation and claims, and there's VAT paid to non-registered vendors. There's payment for services never rendered. So that's what we've seen mostly. I think in this slide we have listed the areas of where we feel that the internal controls should improve. I think we've listed for all the entities, and I think if you look at on this side, we're only dealing with leadership. Under arts and culture, we're saying there's a problem on oversight responsibility. Okay, there's also a problem on HR management and policies and procedures and the action plans that need to be that are needed to address the audit outcomes and also deficiencies identified within that process. So that's what we would like to show the portfolio committee today. If you look at other areas like at PACOFs, where it's mostly red, where we under leadership, just to say the culture that is there and the oversight responsibility, we feel that there is a grave concern that needs to be looked at this point in time. Now, if we look at PENSOP, the same issues are being highlighted there. If we look at the next slide, obviously it's just a continuation, but we're talking about also Windybrow is there in full red, where we need to have stability within that entity also. Okay. Under financial performance, we also indicating the same thing, especially on record keeping, that there are areas of concern for us. That's why they are sitting on the yellow. If you look at arts and culture, if you look at Ditsong, if you look at Nelson Mandela also, and the National Library, to say if record keeping was done on a continuous basis, we'll be able to move those entities into a unqualified opinion. Okay. As you can see, PENSOP is still there in Windybrow and PACOS. Okay. And here we have recommendations for the root causes for that causes the regression, in the department. Number one, we have said the lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions. That is our root cause, and we're saying they must investigate and take steps to address the transgressions against laws and regulations, including those specific to supply chain management. Another root cause is that there was instability or vacancies in key positions. We would recommend that the entities ensure the filling of key vacant positions with sufficiently skilled individuals and provide adequate training to existing personnel at the department and applicable entities. We also said that key officials lack appropriate competencies, and we recommend that implementation and consistent monitoring of all action plans to address significant deficiencies identified by auditors that will ensure effectiveness. That's what we would like to recommend at this point in time. At the assurance level, I think in this slide we are just saying that we would like to see all levels giving us getting a green, but in most instances you find that, like in the first bar, that the 11 entities where we feel that management provides some assurance, but it's not at the required level, and there are four that provide no assurance at all to us. Also, in terms of the accounting authority and or the accounting officers, we also feel that there's a lot of improvement that is required there. I mean, if you look at the fact that there's five accounting authorities that we feel that we have no assurance, therefore it means more work for us and in order to assist the entity, which is not the state that we would like. We can also say that also at the executive authority level, we did not have the right level of assurance during the period. Would like to have that bar at a green where we feel that the executive authority is also exercising the correct oversight responsibility. Okay. We can talk also, we also at the third level, just the portfolio committee, that we would also like to see that the portfolio committee gives us that support and gives the entities the support to get that bar into a green. Also, just to give more key recommendations for improvement, we are saying that we should strengthen the following controls to create a control environment that supports reliable financial and performance reporting and compliance with legislation. We've spoken about at the leadership level, say let's implement adequate systems, processes to support accurate and reliable financial and performance information. In the financial and performance management, to enhance the checks and balances during the year to ensure that all reconciliations are done on a daily or a monthly basis. Also just to say that at leadership level, implementing adequate systems and processes to focus on overall compliance with procurement processes. I think that will help us to eradicate the growing trend of irregular expenditure. Okay. I think that is all from our side, and that is our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, AG. Some of the news are depressing. You know, your presentation has areas where it's really depressing. But I think as the portfolio committee, when we first took over this responsibility, we said that we are here to ensure that the department accounts, but also we are here to ensure that we assist the department to do the right thing. So I think the information is useful for us, especially now that we're going to meet with the department later on, and we need a few minutes to internalize this whole thing and prepare ourselves so that we ask the right questions. Because this is what we are about, asking the right questions not for ourselves, but for the people that we are serving. It's really depressing. We had already voiced our dissatisfaction as the portfolio committee earlier, that, and we declared under expenditure as a crime against humanity. And when you look at all these issues, how does it happen that there are misstatements? What's the cause of misstatements? I think we need, as the portfolio committee, to know that before we meet the department. Why? Why this? How does it happen that they have misstatements? And with the issues of irregular expenditure, with the issues, we are going to ensure that the department answers. The department answers our questions on all those issues related to irregular expenditure. And this has been assisting, this is helpful, and if there are any questions, honorable members, or comments to the AG's office, this is the time to do that. Ask any question, make any comment. Before we take we need a 10-minute break where we're going to prepare ourselves for the next for the meeting with the department. Because we've absorbed quite a lot. We have to internalize this. I don't want to say that it's immunition. No, I don't want to term it as immunition, as if we're going to shoot someone. But the information is useful for us so that we can ask the right questions. Are there any questions or comments, honorable members? Honorable Masangu? Honorable Dr. Nalga?
Sure, thank you. Just also appreciating the presentation by the officials from the AG's office. Just for clarity, because I don't know whether the presenters suffer from my disease that I do have, but I'll raise it when I arrive at the meeting. So that your slides are not numbered, but there is a slide after the quality of annual performance report. See that one? This one. There on top, you've raised the annual performance report of 15 of the auditees were useful and reliable. This means you are referring to the current year. Okay, that's fine. Then the next page, the findings. This pink color is represented by this font. Am I right? You see, yeah, the green on your, whatever you call this thing, I assume that it refers to these greens, and then this pink refers to this font. Yeah? Is that how we should read it? And the next page, obviously, it will be the same. Now, this page, the page there. I don't know. Oh, page 16.
There are numbers on the right there.
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry, my apologies. Page 16, sorry. On page 16, you are saying significant non-compliance. So even here, you are referring to the underperformance, the one that is affected by this funny rate, I assume. Whatever you call that thing, I don't know. It's color. No? Yeah, funny rate. on page 18, the Sahara. Do we have a Sahara? Is it the Sahara that we need? Okay. Sahara. Yeah, I think it's fine. I think those clarities does help for us to understand. Now, oh, no, no, no. A last question I must ask. On page 26, where you refer to the portfolio committee as what are you saying about the portfolio committee? You are saying they do provide some assurance. Is that what you say? What is this yellow thing? Or they don't? What are you... I don't understand this.
Yes. If you look on the right, we're saying it provides some assurance, not absolute assurance. Or we're not saying they're providing sufficient assurance. Basically, what we are saying, it should be green, where you would say, you know what, they provide us the assurance that they will take the actions and they will ensure that the department is implementing, and they also take our recommendations into account. I think if we look at this one, we're also judging it throughout the period. It's not, so you might find that we are reporting on your... on the previous portfolio committee also within this space.
Okay, no, don't stress. We are not going to fight you. But how would you arrive at a stage where you say the committee is green? What will it take for you to say the committee is green?
Welcome, Honourable Member. Honourable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairman. Now, first, thank you for the presentation. I think a lot of information is offered to us in a very sort of understandable way with all these things. I tried to keep up with you, but I think it helps the comparison. Does help. My problem, I think that will be the committee's problem, is we are 20 years into democracy now, and surely we expect a learning curve up to now. And the fact that broadly I get the impression that there has been a regression between last year and this year. And that is a red robot going off. And I'm not sure what we can do about it and what the reason. You give some reasons, understand it. Is it new personnel that don't know it and you understand it's lack of experience, they learn? Or what is the problem? I think broadly maybe the problem is no action. I think the smart word is no sanctions. I don't want to use the word punishment. But, for example, one of the reasons they give there is payment for services never rendered. Well, that sounds a very serious problem. You know, if you pay something that's never rendered, that is almost corruption. It is punishable. The money came back, what happened there, that type of thing. And then maybe if you just, my question would be, how can we help from the committee side, you know, and to put pressure on, I'm not sure what we can do to really enforce that. That's the first question. the second one was also on that assurance thing. English is not my first language, and I didn't understand assurance. I've got grandchildren, I assure them I'll be there, and I don't worry about grandfather, but I still love you, although you're naughty. But is that what it means here? I'm not exactly sure what is assurance in this terminology, what it exactly means. And the third one is maybe not part of this, and I'm not sure I must ask it here, but we did visit some of these entities, for example, the Afrikaanse Taal Museum. And they had a very valid complaint from my point of view, saying the cost for auditing for the general. I think they pay 640,000, something like that. But the percentage, if you look at their total budget, I can't remember the figures now off the top of my head, 25%, something like that. Surely there ought to be a correlation between the budget amount that they have and the auditing cost. Because they, in the end, are hampered in doing their job because they must pay all this money up to you, if I'm correct. And it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you can just help me explain it so we can explain it to them and hopefully we can solve that problem. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Are there any questions or comments? Honourable members?
No, Chairperson, thank you. I think one needs to welcome the report. It's quite informative, especially as we are about to meet the department in terms of its objectives. But one needs to say, as much as Chair, we are in 20 years of democracy, As a committee, I think I'll go back when I look at that, providing some of assurance. It rests with members of the committee. How do we put ourselves in taking the recommendation, or how are we taking the work of the committee serious in assisting the department, including our voters? Because no one can be blamed here if the committee are here to oversight for the department. I think this report, the way we are looking at, it must be a lesson to us as this new committee on the Fifth Parliament to say the reports or anything that we are doing in this committee, together we must move as a committee. Not we'll agree with the things when you go outside, others will say we distance ourselves or we're not supporting this, but all of us sitting in this committee. So if all of us, we can come jointly and work and take the work of the committee forward, all the recommendation or anything that will come, we'll take it out. The sixth parliament, when it comes, it will be like saying that fifth parliament, you did see the unity in terms of working for their voters, not for the department, but for the voters. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to be clarified on, I think it's page 19 and page 20, it's the same. There's one red dot on the far right, which is identified by the auditees, and the blue one that is saying it's identified during audit. To get to where I want to understand the two colors. They reflect the very same amount that is above. The amount that is above is regular expenditure, irrespective of whether it has been identified during audit or by the audit. Can I be clarified on that one?
Thank you very much. It's the opportunity to respond.
Thank you.
think I understand the point from where Honorable Mahlangu comes, because you can do everything for a soccer team, but you cannot score goals for it. You can give it support, you can cheer, you can do everything, but you can't score the goals. And to win a game, you need to score a goal. So as the portfolio committee, we can do whatever, but we don't implement. We are an oversight body constitutionally. So I think his question is correct, that what would it take for you, for us to get a green? Because we'd be doing whatever we are doing, but you won't get someone employed. You know, we'd be doing whatever we can do, but you wouldn't get people getting consequences for the wrong that they have done. So I think we need, because Tina, as this committee, we want to do the best that we can in the 5 years. As I said earlier, not only to have this oversight function, but we want our presence here to be felt by communities, where communities feel that this committee is doing its best to ensure that they derive joy from the program of government. You know, so we will do everything, but the buck stops with the department.
I know that I'm a bit silly. I would have loved to see, and I know it may not be fair, but I think it's fair. Yeah, I think it's fair. You know, below the portfolio, if you had put yourselves here, self-introspection of your office against the rest, at, you know, executive portfolio and the audit, it would be nice to see how you would rate the AG. So in future, just try and get a bar for the AG. But indeed, as the chair said, I guess the committee is doing good work. So far, collectively, as a unit, we actually work as a solid unit. And we've done some, in a few weeks or months that we've been around, we've made some good strides. We've made some progress from where we stand, I think. And we are determined to ensure that these rates are dealt with. We're actually from a start plan not long time ago, 3 weeks ago, where we said we would want to see all the rates appearing before the committee. But we will also go to them. We already are from a few of them on site, meeting everyone from the sweeper, the cleaner, the tea lady, until the boss. That's what we are very clinical in terms of our approach, and we leave no stone unturned. I think that's the approach we've adopted. And we are seeing, I'm not sure whether we're seeing results, but we actually know what is happening in depth. We can tell you about pens up from zero to wherever. We can tell you about Sarah. We can tell you about Izigo. We can tell you about, So I hope we're getting there. I mean, we will never turn green for as long as we have the others back, but it would be nice to see how you put yourself, because in that way we will evaluate ourselves against the external. But thank you, Chair.
In this light, currently on the first level, can the team from the AG inform members, especially those five who are not giving assurance, who are they, so that members can be able to provide better oversight? Because that is really worrying.
Person, you see, it's like the newspapers. There's no watchdog over the watchdog.
But it would be nice to see if you put other committees ready, you know, just for interest sake. Or you've just said, you know what, hey, let's not tackle these guys, let's just put them on a same level. It would be nice to check other portfolios. But no, I don't think you need to take it further. I think it was more of a, that's why I premise it by saying, well, it's a bit silly, but it's okay. Yeah, perfect.
Thank you.
Chairperson, can I, sorry, I see the red light is on, but I think there's something wrong with that microphone. I'm wearing glasses as you are, but I'm also not hearing anything. Maybe I'm older than you, so maybe I'm not sure that's the problem. Please, yeah.
On the question about the entity not giving assurance, we'll send that to Ajabli, and she'll distribute it to the members thereafter.
We would like to thank you very much for your presentation, and as I said earlier, it's going to assist us a lot. And as the Honourable Member said, that we would really want to do our work so that in the 6th Parliament, they would look at this wonderful work that was done by the committee during the 5th Parliament. But as we said, we appreciate the work that you are doing as well, because as it was stated in one of the slides, that weren't it for your intervention, we would be seeing, you know, dismal results from some of the entities. Because you had to go back and say, can you please look at this again and coach them and try to ensure that they do the right thing. And I think that's good. That's what I always say with AIDS office, that this is what really I think is important, not to be glad that people are failing, but to ensure that they do pass, and if they fail, they fail because they want to, because it's what they want. So I think it's what you raised in one of your slides is important, that you assist, you walk with the people for a mile, and it's the people who just throw your hand away and decide to fail. And I think as the portfolio committee, as the members have said, you're going to follow up on this depressing red thing here. You know, all those entities that have red and yellow, we are going to follow up on them. We are going to prioritize them so that we look at what the problem is and we try to assist the department to ensure that they do the right thing, because that's what people want. They want service delivery. So we want to thank you very much, and we are hoping that this relationship is going to be strengthened as we move forward. And as you said earlier, if we feel that we need you to assist us, to assist us in any way, we will call upon you to do that. But we feel the warmth of the relationship since we came in, and we are hoping that it will improve as we go along. Thank you very much for your presentation. Honorable members, let's have a break, full 10 minutes. Oh, Asambulile would like to ask you something, honorable members, in connection with some of the documents. Can you, over to you,
Members, I tried sending through the soft copies of the annual reports. I do have the soft copies. If members have memory sticks, I can give members the annual reports of all the entities as well as that. So if members can give me memory sticks, and then I'll just place those into the memory sticks.
Chairperson, can I just, if I heard this correct, that was my question in the beginning. Can I accept that everything we receive by computer is also then available in our boxes? Because my office thought they must print it all out, and they're killing our printers at the moment trying to print everything. We'll get it both. I think that is incorrect, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.